DJ into the lounge. And cracking music at 100.
Still a go, eh?
No, definitely.
Okay. I actually went for that.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, I thought I'd start with one poem and then a very short story. This was one of those challenges from last year, the five-word challenge. So it's called Antianga, and the five words were special, translate, weave, glore, the Irish word glore, and ripples. Antianga. The special role of the Irish language in the 21st century could be a whole world away from the rigid Gaeilge of the classroom. It might be to weave a glore of poetry and song amidst the frantic clinking of the cash tills, the whoosh of cruise missiles, the pump of suicide bombers. It might be to translate the love of nature and the nature of love. For those clinical zealots of empires, corporations, and emirates, and the empty prelates. It might be to send out spreading ripples of hope, and Changa tingling through a torn, tense world. Little story based on true events: politics, the parrot, and the parish priest. Its splendid multicolored tropical plumage was suffering badly in the dank, overcast surroundings of a small grey town in the west of Ireland. This lord of the jungle treetops of Amazonia, casting a rueful, beady eye around his new abode, had decided to molt, and decided in protest to molt permanently. Bad idea in a chilly County Clare winter. Grandmother knitted a rainbow-coloured striped poncho for poor shivering Valentino, the parrot. She was torn between showing him off to her friends or hiding him away in the back room, for this parrot had a foul mouth. He had spent several months on board a rusty old tram steamer in the company of the ship's first mate, whose favourite expression, delivered in perfectly enunciated Welsh tones, was, "You old fuck are you?" The parrot had been sold without a trace of sentiment to a pet shop in the town of Newport in South Wales to help along with a drinking spree. Grandmother, who was staying with relatives in Newport, had been secretly amused by this feathered ruffian's bad language. Where she had gone, in the pet shop, where she had gone with the intention of buying a sweet-voiced budgie. Her brother and sister-in-law had been shocked, and there were indignant cries of, "Get that bird out of my house!" And such innocent times. Anyway, Valentino, after a spell, literally in the abandoned doghouse, found himself in the west of Ireland. Those were the times of strange civil war hangover. It was in between that rough and ready phase where communication was carried on with guns, first with our long-time masters from across the water, and then amongst their own people. And that much later mohair-suited phase where the wheels of Irish politics and business were oiled with gallons of bribery and corruption. In those days, Up Dev was guaranteed to draw out the famous Clare shout, otherwise reserved for the winning of hurling matches. Or else, if used in the wrong company, it could elicit sour looks or even start a good scrap. Some people took the death of Michael Collins, the big fella, personally and blamed it on the Longfellow De Valera. Grandmother was not particularly political, but she was partial to drama, so she was determined to teach Valentino to say Up Dev. She spent hours at this, but was usually rewarded with a stream of ear-scorching nautical obscenities by the disgruntled parrot, trying to ruffle out his rainbow poncho in the absence of feathers. One day the parish priest, an avid supporter of De Valera, was visiting the house. He was tucking into a feed of fatty bacon and cabbage and big flowery spuds from the garden, liberally smeared with salty homemade country butter. No wonder his face positively glowed with cholesterol if he had that kind of feed in every house he visited, and perhaps washed down with a tumbler of whiskey in some houses. Grandmother came in carrying the parrot in his cage. "Father, he's just learned to say Up Dev," she burst out excitedly. Good, good, a true patriot, even if he is an interloper from some savage, godforsaken part of the world. You probably say it again. Come on, Valentino. Up, Dev. The priest tut-tutted his disapproval at the name of the celluloid ladies' man and advised that the bird should be renamed Patrick. Or why not Martin, after Martin de Porres, the black saint so popular in Ireland at that time. Everyone strained to hear the parrot, who was muttering inaudibly while turning a beady eye from one to another in the room.
Up, Dev,
squawked the parrot.
You old fucker, you.
Thank you very much, Niall. It's great to have you back. And next we have Maureen Weldon. Thank you very much. I am from Cork, but I've lived in the UK for a really long, long time. I live just over the border into North Wales, near Chester. I live in a top flat, and I don't have a very great view. Midnight robin. While the sky shimmers like shot silk, chimney pots, a toothy smile. I count the pots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. On my kitchen table, sheets and sheets of screwed up poems. I will flatten them tomorrow for shopping lists. While perfume smells of hyacinths reminds me of my mother, they make lovely Christmas presents, she would say, as she potted and tended. The evening moves along, as evenings do. The moon, a half golden bracelet, the sky cluttered with stars. All is still. No trains, no cars. And in this stillness, the midnight robin sings. Been a lot of child abuse with priests and whatnot, not just in Ireland, but in a lot of countries. Like carrion crows, listen to the ripple on the water. Deep in the lake, a stone was dropped. That night, the child cried. No one was listening until years later, horror, sorrow, while the carrion crow flies free. And is it okay if I read one more?
Yes, gracious.
What sentence is that last one? A few years ago, I was in Mexico. I have a lot of relations in Mexico. And one of the wonderful places that they took me to was, I can't pronounce it, Teotihuacan, an Aztec, huge, huge city, Mexico. On seeing the pyramids for the first time, magnificent on top of the world, wind, rain, fire, of these elemental gods, moon, sun, most powerful sun, omnipotent. How many times did the Aztec priest stand in front of his highest altar, arms outstretched, proud head dressed with the golden feather, until, swiveling the sacred sword, tears the chest of a wild-eyed warrior to pour the panting heart down, down, down. Thank you. Thank you very much. We hope to see you back for Samuel Cross.
Oh, thank you.
Next we have another Niall Murphy.
Thank you very much. I'm married to British short performers now. First one is called Mushroom Gatherers. Mushroom Gatherers. In September, they move silently over the horizon. Down a hill of fallow grass, they will step this way and that, doing a kind of dance before taking root in the fen. At a distance, you can see wax paper, minute Tupperware boxes, and a dog-eared reference book propped against the rucksack. Today, they will suck from the earth the ancient blue psilocybin. There are times I want to join them, to return and hopefully allay the shadow of this cognitive dissonance, wedge myself between a Wicklow mountain, or lie in a distant field beneath silver twilight. Is about some time I spent travelling in Syria and in particular the city of Khaled. It's called Ras Salaj. I remember Khaled from atop the citadel, old town minarets, markets, a far off tremolo from the muezzin that ripples through shades of umber and cracked streets of the market's labyrinth. Then the turning around and poking you, leaping flamboyantly across huge stones as old as Lot, laughing. I never saw the eyes till it was too late. You knew and tarried all the same, brave girl. The price you paid, the long walk home, penniless and pitiful, but smiling.
Thank you very much, Niall, for that. And next we have somebody who just returned from Shanghai and
We all know about those people turned to stone at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. Fewer of us know about the tree that was turned to stone by volcanic activity. There's a few famous forests dotted around the globe, and one of the more spectacular of them is located just north of San Francisco. And that's where this particular petrified forest is. There's also a form of bay tree that grows in California. It's called California bay tree. It's distinct from the culinary bay tree in that it's much, much more potent. If you were to put a single California bay leaf into a stew, it would just completely overwhelm the stew. It is used in cooking, but how you use it is you put a branch of the California bay into
From
the food you're cooking.
Okay.
can we have a heckle, please? All over 2 minutes.
That's what they call it.
Be luxurious surrounded, broadcasting their pungency. It was years before I would read five of their leaves, pinned to my pill, while chanting in sevens and counting in sevens, a spell would conjure up my steadfast Valentine. Too late now. We were absorbed by the corpses of the redwoods as we strolled around, looking first at this one, then at that. All of them fell in one direction away from the distant self-annihilation of the mountain, which had disappeared with nuclear force eons before R.L. Stevenson first stood here and marveled at it all. How the trees were made of stone, how the annihilating volcano had sculpted them, if not into its own image, indubitably of its own substance, the silica which had invaded every redwood cell, reshaping its glittering self into each fold of exterior bark, all of the tree's concentric innards, recording forevermore in cutaway cross sections the tree's happy and cruel years. I was split in two like many of the trunks, marveling on the one hand at their petrified plight, on the other hand at the company of your own luminous self. As an act of resolution, I reached for the living, the sprig of California Bay. Redolent, rolled it to brittle fragments in my palm, held it to your face to share, to see you smile at scouring a woman. If my soul could be sliced and petrified, a huge ring of growth would show for this important moment. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much, Captain. I do apologize to the hecklers. Next we have somebody whose poetry I very much enjoy. It's a regular here, and Terry Deneen.
Mind you, two. I thought one balanced out the other, but you'd have to decide that. Champagne and flowers. They take you and rob you and tell you they love you. They hurt you, they leave you, and tell you they miss you. Champagne and flowers never last. You left me on a rooftop, you left me on the ground, you left me in a foreign land, sad and broken down. You left me at Easter, you left me on Christmas Day, you left me cold and lonely when you went off to play. You left me without light, you left me eating rice. You left me on the bridge of our dreams. You left me in the garden, underneath a tree. You left me on the lakeside, the ducks my only friends. You left me on my birthday, crying in your arms, left me suicidal at the window after dark. You left me for another, like many times before, you left me for a ticket to ride off somewhere. Forgetting and forgiving, you're knocking on my door. What have you to offer now that you can leave me for? They take you, they rob you, they tell you they love you. They hold you and kiss you and tell you they've missed you. Champagne and flowers never last. This is a different poem. It's called Ephedra. She is so free inside, her eyes fantastic, pink, stunning, oh so beautiful, like honey in my milk. Her lily white skin so tender, so soft and sensuous and sweet. Her lips a blazing scarlet, her hair an artful thing. A glow of heavenly destiny, is this woman of my dreams, like a liquid morning dewdrop, a wonder when she smiles. Her aura is enchanting, her nose a delicate line, her scent is pure gardenia to hypnotize my mind. O temptress, belladonna, you're the fever in my veins. Stay this way forever, exquisitely divine. We'll float away together, a bubble in the sky, dance under the starry skies, and make love in our minds. Come, Ephedra, come,
let me see you smile. Lean a little forward. Touch your lips on mine. Thank you. Thank you very much, Terry. And next we have our Patricia Walsh. Thank you, Susan. This is called Water Tower. 5 years of expression in polarly different ways. Pretentious, thick, and horrifying. Even if it was only trying to fix the echelon's gaze on yours truly, truly not myself. For myself, cries after day comes over, and reinforces my inadequate efforts. I am not part of this jigsaw still. But it was good while it lasted. A number of times when I got what I wanted. 3 years back now. How? Pretense is really a secret, a simple answer, for which everyone used to get along. A watershed, of course. A water tower servicing the nation. I am no prisoner of myself, nor ever of others. So if I were to go away like a waste, well, then nobody noticed I'd notice. But it remains upon some lofty molehill, having to look up alone, having to look down alone, from where the old water tower was, and how well the town grew since I've left, and somehow a lot more filthy. But today my blood trickles down the slope for one last time, before the adult exam. But what after then? The revolt comes time to see and hear the wrong ones made, fresh, successful, cut down to me. Thank you. Thanks very much, Trish, for that. And next we have either a song or a poem, maybe from Alan Cokie.
Well, I'm back to the thing in balancing at the moment. But I think it's the history, you know, it's like a real document of history, better than other documents at the moment for me. So this is a comedy song, but it's quite dark undertones about urban poverty and stuff. Now Jack was a sailor who rolled down the town, and she was a damsel who skipped up and down. Said the damsel to Jack as she passed him by, would you care to for purchase some queer bundles, rye, ready, rye? Follow the little eye, ready, rye, ready, rye. Said Jack to himself, now what can it be but the finest old whiskey from Bow, Germany? What was up in the basket and sold on the sly, and the name that it goes by is Queer Bundle Rye Ruddy Rye. Follow the little eye, ruddy, rye, ruddy, rye. Jack gave her a pound, and he thought nothing strange. She said, hold to the basket, and I'll run for your change. Jack looked in the basket, and a child as he did spy. Oh, be damned, said Jack, this is Queer Bundle Rye Ruddy Rye. Follow the little eye, ruddy, rye, ruddy, rye. Well, to get the child christened, was Jack next intent, or to get the child christened, to the parson he went. Said the parson to Jack, what will he go by? Oh, be damned him, said Jack, call him Queer Bundle Rye Ruddy Rye. Follow the little eye, ruddy, rye, ruddy, rye. Said the parson to Jack, that's a very queer name. Oh, be damned him, said Jack, in the queer way he came. Smuggled up in a basket, and sold on the sly, and the name that he goes by is Queer Bundle Rye Ruddy Rye. Follow the little eye, ruddy, rye, ruddy, rye. Now all the young sailors who rove on the town, beware of the damsels who skip up and down. Take a peek in their baskets as they pass you by, or else they may pawn on you Queer Bundle Rye Ruddy Rye. Follow the little eye, ruddy, rye, ruddy, rye.
And next to this, we have a regular, Bulletin Blue.
too much. I'd be perfect with that micro. Okay, the last time I was here, I did a rough translation of an expressionist poem, which I worked on a little more. I made it a better translation than the rough one. So I'm just going to dare to do that one again. First, I'm going to start with the German. Now, Alfred Wolfenstein wrote this poem. It's very famous in German. In Germany, it's called Städter. And he lived from 1888 to 1945, and the poem was written and published in 1914. Städter. Nah wie Löcher eines Siebes stehen Fenster beieinander. Drängend fassen Häuser sich so dicht an, dass die Straßen grau geschwollen wie gewürgte Seen. Ineinander dicht hineingehackt sitzen in den Trams die zwei Fassaden Leute, wo die Blicke eng ausladen und Begierde ineinander ragt. Unsere Wände sind so dünn wie Haut, dass ein jeder teilnimmt, wenn ich weine. Flüstern dringt hinüber wie Gegröhle und wie stumm in abgeschlossener Höhle, unberührt und ungeschaut, steht doch jeder fern und fühlt alleine. City flickers. Dense as pinholes of a sifter, windows stand together. Closely squeezing houses touch so narrow that the streets look swollen grey as strangled strangers. Into one another tightly hooked in the trams are sitting two facades of people where the looks expand as cramped and desire looms and interlocks. All our walls are thin as skin, so everyone attends me when I cry. Whispers pierce across like roars, yet like mute in solitary vaults, unaffected and unviewed, everyone stands far and feels alone. Thank you very much. I'm going to do one more, and it's called Home. And I was in Cork for the African Festival a couple of weeks ago, and I had the pleasure of sitting above the roofs of Cork at sundusk in MacArthur Street, and I was sitting with Aziz from Africa. Home is always best, he said. But once I flew into migration, I forgot what home means. Always longing, always torn back, forgetting the reasons I'd left for. Home becomes always best, the open option, the last resort, a place to rely on, family, friends, and familiar ways. The swifts above the roofs of Cork and the sweet blackbirds singing remind me of my little Hildesheim here this evening. 2. See the birds, he said. They're flying high, they're happy, and 3. And when they seek a place to land, they look out for a tree they like, one that they find safe to call home for the moment. 3. Once you fly away from home into the journey of migration, you become a bird, always on the way. So look out for a tree you like to call your home for a time.
Thank you very much for that. That was very enjoyable poems, and I hope you bring more of those impression poems to us today.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be closing our evening tonight with a squiggle on stage. Lucky, I know who that squiggle is. It is Jerry Murphy.
Echo.
Echo, come on. Do you remember the Israeli action during the week?
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yes,
with me. No, 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 this has nothing to do with it. Stop putting it on your mind. Who's the man who was singing there with the girl?
Me.
You know the singers club in the Spotted Fauna?
I've heard about this.
We should go along.
Yeah.
And they're finishing up next week or the week after.
Right. Yeah.
And they think, but you should go along. I'm going to give you a song actually, because this is, you've heard of The Wife's Lonely Boy, haven't you?
Yeah.
But this is a different version of it.
What's Lonely Boy?
You know it's called There Wasn't a Wife's Lonely Boy. And it goes in it, there wasn't a wife's lonely boy. Of course it did. There wasn't. This is just a part from an underform called Parting and Entanglement for Beginners. It's one of those things you find an old photograph sometimes in a collection of old photographs, and you sort of reinterpret the look that the person is giving you in the photograph, basically. Rummaging through some old papers, I turn up a mislaid photograph taken some 20 years before. You know who, young and undeniably gorgeous, sitting against a crumbling tower wall of some sunstruck Welsh redoubt. She's giving the camera her, how the fuck does this fool expect me to smile when he's me looking directly into the sun? What the fuck have I been doing for the past 4 years going up this gold-headed cretin? Have I been in days or what? And the sex, give me a fucking break. After the weekly roll on, roll off, roll over, I might as well be sleeping with my sister. I was far better off with my fingers. It's high time I gave this self-absorbed wanker the old key for 4 fucking years. I can't believe it. I know, breaking a check later, straight up no kiss, sling your hoops in, hit the road, Jack, fuck off, you fucking fuck. Look.
Thank you very much all for coming. This is the end of our evening here. And thank you very much for Paul Perry for coming from Dublin and reading us tonight.